You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number two. It's 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Port O'Connor and check in with Captain Lynn Smith. Good morning, Lynn. How you doing, bud?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. Boy, it's been a pretty week, hasn't it?
It has. It's absolutely been gorgeous.
Oh, I'm telling you, man. Well, I've been busy running back and forth between deer hunting and fishing. It's been a dream. Living
in
the dream.
Road warrior mode right now, buddy.
Oh, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. Started off the week deer hunting and finished the week up fishing. So, yep, living the dream. I was down in Freer first and hunting varmints, and then ran over to George West, and we did a doe hunt over there, and that worked out good, and had a great couple over there at the ranch at George West, and we booked off the radio show, and that turned out well.
Well, and that's good.
Great couple. I mean, that was fantastic, and in fact, the girl, she killed three does, and
awesome.
Yeah, she did good, and that was a great trip. She had a rifle that her father had built, and her father had passed away, and so that was a great trip. She really, really was excited the fact that, you know, she was able to go out and use her father's rifle and take those does with her father's rifle. It was a memorable trip for her, you know.
Awesome.
Yeah, really was. And they want to come back and they want to bring another couple. So that'll work good. Yeah, they had a good time. So anyway, but we want to get some more couples and come down there. So that'll do good. And as of Tuesday, when I left there Tuesday, we really need to take a lot more does.
Right.
We're gonna do a flyover. I think they're gonna do a flyover Tuesday with the biologist, mm-hmm. and that's the flyover day. But as of Tuesday, when I left there, I think we had only taken 12 does off. And I think we had 75 tags at that
Goodness.
Point. Yeah. And I don't know what what it'll be once the biologist does the flyover. Because in the past, I know we've had as many as 90 tags. You know, so you know, we try to get up there close to the 90, and we get pretty close. We get pretty close, but you know, it's it depends on the survey.
Yeah,
but we get pretty close usually, and it makes a big difference. I'll guarantee you, it really does.
Yeah,
some of these ranches
buck to doe ratio thing—that's real critical for managing ranches properly and getting
oh, it
genetics
is.
To do what they're supposed to, and it's tough, man. When you everybody thinks, oh, 90 does, that's not that much. That's a lot. That's
I know it. Well, the biologist told the hunters that that leased the ranch. He told them just a couple of weeks ago that he would like to see them take up to 30 does before they even take a buck off the place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know that's been the problem in the past is getting the hunters to take a doe before they take a buck. You know, most hunters don't want to shoot a doe before they take a buck because
no, they get the buck first and then do the doe thing last, and a lot of times they don't end up getting one.
That's right. That's right. Because they don't want to shoot because they think, oh, that my buck's in the brush right there, you know, right behind the doe, and oh my goodness, you know, if I shoot that doe, I'm gonna hurt myself not getting that big buck, you know. Never fails. So anyway, but yeah, you know, like you say, it's critical to take these does, especially before the bucks start rutting. That's when you wanna take the does off, you know. And you know, and I was really happy to see these does they've kicked off a lot of these young ones. I mean, these young ones are big now. They're big. I didn't see any on the George West. I didn't see any real small yearlings or anything like that, like I did on that other place.
Right.
On the ranch that I was on when I was farming hunting, I saw some really small yearlings.
You were down around where, Freer?
Yeah, between Freer and Cotulla.
Yeah, so they got a later rut down there and everything. And
they did.
Blaine still got little fawns running around with spots on them with their mamas right now.
I didn't see that between Freer and Cotulla, but I did see some little bitty fawns. I mean, real small. Yeah. I mean, that's where you have to be careful, you know, because I did see a doe come out, and I mean, these a pair of twins came just running out, trotting out, mm-hmm. you know, after mama. So, you know, you have to be real careful. You don't want to shoot a doe.
You do.
We didn't shoot any does. Yeah, you do. We didn't shoot any does on that place yet. Yeah, no, we're going to, but we're going to shoot them. We're going to start shooting them like the middle of November down there. And by that time, the yearlings will be kicked off. The does will kick them off. And the does will start, once they start kicking them off, they're ready to breed. Yeah, they're ready.
Yeah, they come in quick.
Oh, they do. Yeah. That's a fact. But anyway, that's what's going to happen.
That's why they kick them off. You got to get out of here. Mama's ready to party.
That's right. That's right. Ready to go to Gillies.
That's it, baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
I wonder why Gillies always comes into the topic when we start talking about doe breeding and everything else. Imagine that.
Oh, that was back in the day. It was.
Those were good old days, man.
Wasn't it? Yeah. Now, we used to, closer to home here, you know, we used to go to the Palomino Club, man. That was one of our big hangouts.
Right.
Oh, yeah. We had a couple of here closer to home. You were down there around Pasadena, but, yeah, we had our spots up here.
Palomino Club.
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of fun. A lot of hangouts, man.
Yeah. Well, those days are kind of past, man, with all the, man, don't drink and drive and just, it's.
No.
Times have changed big time.
Oh, haven't they? Yeah, plus you got older and wiser.
Yeah. That is a fact.
Yeah, isn't that, that's for sure. Oh, gosh, yes. But anyway, back to hunting and fishing. Heck, the fishing got a little slower down here, but, you know, it's starting to slowly pick up. Slowly but surely. I had one guy on the boat yesterday that he had a Texas slam. You know, he said, man, he said, this topped off my slam. I turned around, he had a flounder. I said, yep, you got your Texas slam.
There you go. Got the big three.
Yep, that's it. He had his slam. So that's the first one I've had this year. but anyway, boy, there were a lot of boats running around yesterday.
A lot of traffic, huh?
There was.
Was there any tournaments? Probably a tournament or two, huh?
I think there might have been a fly fishing tournament because there were a lot of fly fishing boats running around yesterday.
Okay.
A lot of them. So there had to be a tournament. That's what I'm thinking. And the tide, I thought the tide was down a little bit yesterday.
Right.
But was it down in your area?
My way it wasn't. You know, when I talked to James yesterday morning, he said it had dropped down in Galveston some, but...
In
those two middle tides during the day, they were weak, so you didn't get a lot of outgoing until last night. But I noticed coming in this morning, it was bulled back up. I mean, nothing like we were having under the equinox, but we still got some good water, you know.
Yeah. No, yesterday morning, I noticed it had fallen quite a bit, but and that was supposed to go out pretty much all day. So, I didn't go back in some of the lakes where I normally go. Mm. I said, I don't want to be calling towboat. Come get me.
No.
No. Not with a crew on a boat. I had four guys yesterday. So I said, man, I'm going to have a load. Yep. I didn't want to get stuck. Too many sandbars in this area.
Yes. There's some places you can mess up in Port O'Connor.
Yes.
We've seen
Absolutely.
It all over the years, fishing tournaments and everything. Man, there's been a lot of grounding.
Oh, yeah. And it changes every year.
Right.
Every year. And you really got to watch it. I mean, I ran aground here a while back, and just going to look at different areas. I was, I was just looking, and I was going to look at one spot and near the pass, and I missed a gut by about, I guess about 30 feet, 30 or 40 feet. And, I mean, I hit that hard sand, and, man, I was locked up. I was stuck, you know.
And hard sand is the absolute worst to run aground on, too.
Oh, boy, I didn't have my motor jacked up, and there were some guys waiting, and I was looking at them, trying to stay away from them, and wasn't paying attention. I didn't have my motor jacked up high enough, and man, I hit that hard sand, and buddy, I was stuck. And I called towboat, called this guy that has towboat, and I said, "Boy, I feel like a dummy, but
I need a pull.
I'm stuck, man." And I said, "He said, well, how far are you from the gut?" And I said, probably about 40 feet, you know, that's it. And they said, no problem, because he pulled me off of it. But it happens. It happens.
Yeah.
But anyway, around the pass, man, that pass changes a lot.
It does. We have the same problem behind, you know, San Luis Pass up here.
Oh,
you know, after storms, it changes. All the bars move and the guts. And
man, just, they do. They do, I guarantee you. One year, I think it was last year or year before last, I got stuck pretty much in the same area. And that old boy came and pulled me off. And I looked up, and there was a guy walking across those sandbars from about, oh, goodness, looked like about 600 yards.
Oh, Lord.
Coming across. I said, looks like you got another customer. Here he comes. And, man, he said, I'll have to go get my airboat to pull him off. I mean, that guy was really stuck.
He was in there.
I mean, he was in bad shape. But, those bars can get you. And that hard sand is a killer.
Yeah, you know? It is. It's the hardest to get a boat off of. You know, we got the luxury. If you do run aground here, it's soft mud. A lot of times you can get out of it.
Oh, yeah. That's
Sometimes
not a problem.
Not.
Well, back in these lakes, you know, that mud and grass, that's not a big deal. But
no.
But that hard sand, no, you're stuck.
You got that right. Let me knock this break out, Lynn. Hang on. I'll be right back, buddy.
You betcha.
Well, folks, are you looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure? Well, welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch, a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda, Texas. And whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, even alligator hunts during the season, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters. So bring your friends, bring your clients, and let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything from five-star lodging, skeet shooting, sporting clays, to a fully stocked bass pond. Your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget. And if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups up to 40 people or host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. And please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 519 here in the Bayou City. All right, Lynn, we're back.
Yeah, my neighbors laughed about me. I think my truck, this time of the year, my truck stays packed with camouflage clothes hanging and the back seat. Nobody can sit in the back seat of my truck because it's just crammed full of stuff, you know. It's just my hunting stuff. No sense in taking it out.
Right.
I was supposed to turn around and go back down to the ranch today. They called me and said they needed me to come back down there. I think they needed me to come down and guide some more hunters. But then while I was out in the water yesterday, I got a text that I think a couple of hunters backed out, so I didn't need to go back down. And I went, oh, good. I need the rest. I need to back out. I need to kick back for a day.
Need a chill day, man. We all need it.
I'm telling you. Oh. So I kind of washed my boat up yesterday afternoon and put it in a stall. I said, oh, goodness. I need to kick back.
Yes.
Man.
Yeah, I got to clean my boat this afternoon or tomorrow. It's kind of a, it's kind of dirty. It's a gut wagon.
Man, I
well,
tell you
it's
what,
not a gut wagon. You just dirty boat. Man, that's it's hard to keep them clean.
Oh, I tell you, I'm telling you, these customers don't realize. You know, they step off the boat, they're done. You know, we still got a couple more hours at least.
Oh yeah,
cleaning our boats. Man, oh man, I come home sometimes and pull up underneath the house. I walk upstairs and hit that air conditioner. I just want to sit down, you know.
That's what I do. Is I'll chill out for a while, maybe pop me a 30-minute nap, watching some TV, and then get up and go out and clean her up when it cools
off. I do the same thing.
Yeah,
I do the same thing.
I think most guides do.
Yeah. That air conditioning sure feels good.
Well, at our age, you know, back when I was young, I'd just get in and get after it, get it over with.
Yeah.
But I don't have that energy level anymore.
Man, I tell you. You know what I do, too, because I, of course, I launch my boat every day, you know, and pull it out every day. And I don't know if you do this, but I take a yard sprinkler, and I put a yard sprinkler underneath my trailer. And
you know, I've heard you talk about that before and get all that salt out from under there, and that's a good idea.
Well, it's pretty much saved my axles, you know. And so I do it every day. That's the last thing I do. And I let it sprinkle underneath my trailer for about 5 or 10 minutes, you know. Doesn't use that much water, really.
Right.
But it sure has saved my axles, I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
But
well, and your water's so much saltier down there, too.
Oh, it is.
About, you know, here the last 10 years, I hadn't had to deal with that much, you know, with salt corrosion.
Mm-hmm.
We stayed so fresh for so long, but now it's really salty.
Oh, yeah.
When you get in, your motor's got all those salt crystals on it now, and, you know, like we're not accustomed to seeing up this way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll have salt collected on my cowling.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you're in Baffin, you know how Baffin is. I mean,
oh man, it looks like snow on the asphalt parking lots, everybody pulling in and out and all that salt just collecting in the parking lots.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I remember you could put in Baffin like in Rivera and then run about a couple of miles and pull in, jump out of the boat and walk around the back, and there's just salt all on the back of your cowling.
Uh-huh.
You know, just salt crystals. Oh, man. Talk about hard on your equipment.
Yeah, you've got reels and equipment that holds up in that salty environment down there, buy it. That's good stuff.
Yeah. Well, it has to be better since they've opened up that
Packery. Up by the bridge. Yeah, that's all. It's changed everything. I mean, Cliff talks about it all the time. What a blessing that was to get that opened up.
But didn't Cliff say they even had sharks moved in?
Well, on that end, you know, coming in through the Packery, you know. He didn't ever see them way down by Baffin or anything. But, but you know, up top and the upper end.
Yeah. They did. I could loan him some. I could loan him a few.
Yeah, we got plenty. I mean, if they'd like to see some, we got plenty to send them. That's a fact.
Yeah, yeah. I was pulling my boat out yesterday, and somebody hollered at me, and it was old Jody Norris.
Jody Norris, how about that?
Yeah, Jody. He was fishing. Of course, he wasn't waiting. He hadn't been waiting, but he had his leg all wrapped up, you know, the one that got hit by the stingray.
Right.
And I asked him how he was doing. His leg is still got an open wound, you know, where the exit wound was, where the barb came out on the other side. He still has an open wound there. He said it's still healing up.
Isn't that amazing?
You know? I
mean, that was a while back. I mean,
that was bad.
That's like a rattlesnake bite.
That's been about 3 months.
At least. Yeah, we were talking about this a while back.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably one of the ugliest wounds I've ever seen by a ray.
Oh, I'm telling you. He said he's still dealing with his Achilles over that.
I bet.
Yeah.
Remember when Lowell Odom got stuck right through the Achilles tendon?
Oh, man.
That time down in your part of the woods.
I know
it. Just south of you down there around Ayers or wherever he was at.
Well,
I'll tell you what, buddy. It took him a while to get over that. That was a bad, bad deal.
Oh, yeah. Well, there are a few stingrays down there.
Yeah,
that's where I got hit.
Made me get out of the water. He was making fun of me in the that next day when, we went fishing with him on a Saturday, and then he took a trip on Sunday the next day in that same spot, and that's where he got nailed. I've never seen him that bad in all my life. Made me get up on the bank. He said, well, what about them rattlesnakes? I said, hey, I'll take on a snake before I take on all this. I mean, there was hundreds of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of them down there.
Bad. I mean, all it takes is one little mistake. Step back, set in the hook or something, and slide your heel up on one and take the hit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Trust me, I know all about it.
Yeah, you do. Firsthand.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, I took a step to my left. Yeah, when my customer said something, I turned and took a step to my left, and it was over. Yeah.
And it happens quick.
Oh, it does. I felt that tail wrap around my leg.
Yes.
And he popped me. Oh, man. And the day before, we saw a lot of rays down there. And it's just that one, the one you don't see that gets you. Mm-hmm. It's the one you don't see. But, man. That's what worries me when I'm easing along there. You're concentrating trying to see fish, you're trying to see reds and trout, and you're sight casting and you're not thinking about those rays. But and they burrow down in that sand, and oh man, that bothers me. I'm trying to look for them, but I mean, how many times have you seen them, the outline of one burrowed in the sand,
Yes.
Oh, that scares you. You walk up on them. Man, oh man. And they are down there. You better know it. There are no guts.
At least y'all can see them. Up here my way, a lot of times the water, we don't have a clarity, y'all do, and you don't see them. They're there, though.
Yeah.
They are there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, when you kick them, oh my goodness, they take off.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. What's bad is if you're stirring up that sand, you're wading along, you're stirring it up, and they're feeding on what you're stirring up, and then they bump into the back of your legs. They're feeding on what you're stirring up.
Yes, they are.
And they're bumping in the back of your legs. I've had them do that a lot. That's kind of spooky.
It is.
Just don't step back. That's how 99% of the people get hit. That, like you say, they set the hook on a fish and they take a step backwards.
Yep.
And they're nailed.
Or jump out of the boat on top of one.
Yeah.
Park.
Yeah. One of my buddies was he got in his boat and his customers were waded up to the boat and they were putting their fish in the boat, talking to him. And while they're putting their fish in the boat, you know how the boat will kind of swing around a little bit. And they kind of had their hands, their arms on the boat, and one of them just kind of stepped a little bit, just kind of walking with the boat swinging, and stepped on one. The rays kind of get in the shadow of the boat, and stepped on a ray right underneath the boat. Got nailed.
Nobody wants to get nailed.
No, no.
I've been fortunate. I've yet to experience it, and knock on wood, I don't want it to happen.
Oh, you're way overdue.
Don't say that.
Well, I hope you wear a ray guard. That's all I can say.
Well, I wear those Ray boots. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when he first came out with them, like I said, they were way too short. Way too short for me. Now he's increased them. He raised them up. When he first had them out, he had them at the fishing show, and I looked at them. I said, I told him, I said, they're too short. He said, really?
You get on a big one, you're going to take it in the leg.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But most hits are, you know, like around the ankle area, arch of the foot, you know, just right above the ankle bone there. But for,
right,
you know, we've got some big ones out there. They'll hit you up high.
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, I got hit just below the calf muscle, you know, and I was talking to a guy, a friend of mine, that said he was surfing, and he stepped off his surfboard and got hit in the bottom of his foot.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a small one, you know, but it hit him on the bottom of his foot, the tender part of his foot. That had to be bad.
Oh, you know it.
That would hurt for a long time.
Probably one of those little landmines got him.
Yeah, exactly. Real small one. You know, I pulled up to the beach one day, and I thought we pulled up and we were going to jump out and walk a short distance over the sand and then wade the surf. Yeah. And I thought, you know, I'm not going to put my guards on. And I thought, I better. And I went ahead and put my guards on, and I jumped over the side of the boat in one of the little bitty rays. He was probably, you know, 8 inches in diameter, was right there, right in the water, right at the edge of the water. And I just missed him when I jumped out of the boat. Uh-huh. I mean, just missed him. If, you know, been my luck, I'd have jumped out without my guards on, stepped on him. But that's the kind of get you if you're not careful.
Yeah, I was wading the East Flats down there, you know, Rockport, Aransas area, and I noticed they were all right on the bank.
Yeah.
I mean, they were just in water that would barely cover their backs. They were right next to the bank. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like that.
No.
So I stayed out deep and went back to the boat. Usually I'll, you know, there was like a little beach there, and you could wade up to the bank and get on it and then truck on back to the boat and bring it down and pick everybody up. I just stayed deeper and waded back to the boat. I got up there by the shoreline. I mean, they were lined up like cordwood all the way down. For whatever reason, they were all wanting to be in that real skinny water that barely covered their backs. I don't know where they were sunning or what they were doing. I left them alone. I steered clear, buddy.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think it was one of the Trout Masters tournaments, and one of the Galveston guys was down here, and I was talking to him at the weigh-in. He said, man, he said, I was down there by Air's dugout, and he said, I never saw so many stingrays in my life, and he said, I got up on the bank to go back to get my boat and almost got bit by a rattlesnake. He said, y'all are dangerous down here.
Yeah, y'all got the best of both worlds down there, bud.
And if you got to be,
that doesn't get you, maybe a big old salty croc will get you, you know, an alligator.
Oh, I saw an alligator yesterday, yeah. A little one. But, you got to have your head on a swivel down here.
Yeah, you got to be aware of the environment down that way. All right, next break. Hang on. I'll be right back at you, bud.
All right,
the Belleville Meat Market. What a great place to shop for grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chickens. Check out their smoked sausage samples there in the store. They're available daily. You can try it before you buy it, see which blend you like, and a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 to 7 p.m., and check out their pecan smoked pulled pork, their homemade hot dogs. And speaking of those, you can buy an original pack of country hot dogs, buy two packs, get the third free, and they have bulk pricing available on fresh ground beef and all of their pecan smoked sausage. If you're looking to have a quarter or half calf process, that's available for pre-order also. And their wild game processing, just in time for deer season, they have a new sausage recipe that's available. You got to try it, and they're now taking orders for their country smoked turkeys. These are 11 to 13-pound average birds on their weight and limited supply, so get them while you can. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 539 here in the Bayou City. All right, Lynn, we're back.
Yeah. Well, you know, people don't realize the impact down here of living down on the coast. You know, you got to realize that we got some wild animals down here, you know.
Yes.
And a friend of mine that has a house here on the street, I live on like a dead-end street, kind of like a cul-de-sac, in other words. Well, his daughter moved down here from Dallas, and she working out of the house. And so she's got a little dog, and I told her, I said, now, you got to be careful because we do have rattlesnakes down here. Boy, her eyes lit up, and she said, rattlesnakes? I said, yeah, we got rattlesnakes. And I said, so be aware that, you know, you walk out in the mornings or whatever, you know, be aware that there are snakes here. And so don't just walk out and, you know, just walk around. I mean, look, be careful. And so anyway, she's starting to kind of mm-hmm. look around, because I've killed rattlesnakes, copperheads, and coral snakes. So they're here, you know.
Well, we're leading into November, and it's kind of baby copperhead season. You got to watch out for them. Those little small copperheads with a little chartreuse tail on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Watch out for those.
I killed a pretty big one. I killed a big one right where my drain off my ice machine goes, you know. And mm-hmm. This is prime time for it because it's been dry.
Yes.
And that drain's, you know, dripping out water there. And one was laying there, you know, drinking water where my drain was. And I walked downstairs and I looked, and that big copperhead was drinking water. And I went, ooh, I got something for you, boy. And I had a shovel over there. And I walked over, picked up my shovel, and I eased over there to him. And I was just kind of lining that shovel up. I was going to try to just chop his head off, and I was easing that shovel down there to cut his head off, and he reared his head back, and boy, he popped that shovel.
Boy.
I mean, he popped it, boy.
If that had been your leg there close to him, he'd have got your leg.
He would have. And I mean, he was a big copperhead too, boy.
Man.
Well, then I ruined his day, though. I ruined his day.
Yeah, well, but that's good. One less.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
God,
he was a big
you.
One. He was a big one, man, I'll tell you. But, man, I'll tell you, you know, they being dry, you know, it was pretty dry around. They're coming to water, you know. They'll come to water.
I went through years ago. I went out to turn my sprinklers off, and then I'd let the sun go down. It was dark. I was barefoot.
Oh.
I said, nah, I better go slip on my shoes. So I slipped a bone, and I went and turned two or three off, and then I was coming back across the yard, and where I just turned that one off, and I had my little spotlight I carry with me, and I turned it on and was walking, and I saw him shining. He was right by the sprinkler. I would have stepped on him if I had to turn that light on.
Oh, man.
It was a good one. I mean, very nice. Mm. About a three-footer. That's a big copperhead.
That is. You know, when I was in Boy Scouts, I'll never forget, I was up in East Texas, and we were in a Boy Scout camp, and we were going to walk to the main camp at nighttime. We were walking down one of those white sandy roads, you know, in the piney woods there, and we were walking along. We had flashlights with us, but we didn't have them on. And we're walking down that white sandy road, and something just told me, you know, turn your light on. I turned it on. And there were three copperheads right in front of us.
Whoa.
On that sandy road.
Mm-hmm.
If I hadn't turned it on, we'd have stepped on one of them for sure. I guarantee you. Guarantee it. Oh, man. They were out moving, boy. Those snakes were moving. So you got to be careful. I mean, it could happen in a heartbeat, you know. We had a young scout, young boy that, in camp, came into camp one day holding a coral snake about six inches back from his head. About 6 inches back from his head. He just was so happy he'd found a pretty snake.
Oh,
and
boy.
And that snake had not bit him. And he was just holding him, just excited. And I know my mouth had to fall wide open. I said, drop it.
About the rings on that red and yellow killer fella.
That's right. That's right. After he dropped him, we told him about it. But that snake had not bitten him.
No, I don't see many coral snakes anymore like we did years back. You know, when I was a kid, we used to see them, see a lot of them. I don't see many anymore.
We killed a pretty big one right here at my house. Pretty big one.
Boy, man, that's a deadly snake right there.
Yes, sir.
Their venom is unbelievable.
That's the most poisonous one in Texas, really. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. But, and this was a pretty big one here. I killed a big one up in East Texas while I was squirrel hunting. I was sitting down against a tree looking up. I'd seen a cat squirrel run across the limb, so I've sat down to wait for him to come back out. I heard something beside me. I looked down, and this big coral snake just came out right beside me.
Oh, boy.
He just eased off. And I know the hair on the back of my neck stood straight up. You know, and I just eased up that tree. I didn't put my hands down. I know I stood straight up and blew 6 inches off of him. Oh, God. That was a big coral snake. Well, he was big enough that I skinned him and made a hat band out of him. I've still got it. I've still got that hat band.
Mm.
Yeah, he was a big coral snake.
I had a listener text in a picture of his stingray wound, and he said he stepped on a four-footer. I mean, that's a big ray.
Ooh.
And he said if it hadn't have been for his Bart's Bay Armor boots that he had been wearing, it still got him through the boots. It was so big. But he had to have surgery if he hadn't had that boot on, you know.
Oh, I believe it.
He's got a picture of the barb. He's holding it with his thumb and index finger. Not pretty.
Oh my goodness. Mm. But, well, you know, one of those big ones like that.
I guess it stopped the biggest part of the impact, and I guess the barb, I don't know whether it stuck in his boot and stayed there. It doesn't look like he had to dig it out of his leg, but, boy,
man.
Pretty nasty.
I'm telling you, you know, any protection that you've got is better than none. You know it.
Yeah, slow down the hit.
You've got to wear some protection. You have to. I wear the wraparound Everlast boot protection. That's what
right.
I wear. And the only reason I don't wear the
Everlast
boots.
That's the guards themselves that you strap to your leg? Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And you know, you can wear those as snake guards, too. And, I mean, you know, that works just as well. But, you know, I just wear them because I wear Sims wading boots. Mm-hmm. And then I wear those Everlast ray guards. And that's what I wear. But and I have stepped on small rays wearing those ray guards. And I felt them slap me.
Yeah.
I just have a problem sliding my feet. I do. I just have a problem doing it. I just keep stepping.
Well, the older we get, the less balance we have, you know.
Yeah.
And,
I just never have. I never have slid my feet. I mean,
I've always been a pretty good glider, but the older I get, I'm not a slide and glide as like I used to. Especially one day I was waiting. It was cold, man. And, I slid in like that and stumped my toe on an old tire laying on the bottom. I went in head first. I just went straight forward. I was kind of going fast. I was going back to get the boat, and I was over in East Bay. God, that was a long, cold ride all the way back from the South Shoreline back to Trinity Bay, man. God,
well, y'all got a lot of stuff trash in those bays from the hurricanes.
Oh, yeah, you know, got old tires and then abandoned crab traps. Boy, those will get you, too. You'll be waiting along and hit a crab trap, and it's a face plant.
man, I'm telling you, man.
Momentum.
Thank goodness for these crab trap recovery deals, you know.
You know, that helps a lot, but a lot of them don't have a ball on them. You don't know they're there, and they get washed up from storms along shorelines where everybody wades, and here we go.
I tell you what, the first crab trap recovery that they had, I used my airboat, and we picked up a lot of old crab traps that had no balls on them.
Yeah.
And we used a gaff, and we just pull up there with the airboat and hook them with a gaff and pull them up. and pulled up one crab trap, had a redfish in it, and a little red in it. Yeah. So, you know, that's a good program, and you pick up a lot of old crab traps. And, you know, every boat ought to have a pair of side cutters, you know, carrying their boat, because sooner or later, you're going to get a crab trap wrapped around your prop. Sooner or later. Trust me.
I got a pair of cutting dykes in my boat just for that, because I've been Dang. There and done it. Looks like
me
a snow
too.
Cone on your lower unit. That prop sucks it up in there, and it just
yep.
compacts it, and it looks like a big old snow cone sticking off the base of your prop.
Oh,
if you
man,
don't have cutters, you're not going to get that out of there. I mean, it just
no.
winds up, and it's bad.
No.
You're done.
Yeah, I was making a drift one day, and we were catching redfish, and I turned around to idle back out to make another drift, and I wrapped a crab trap around my prop. You wouldn't believe it, man. Oh, God. If I hadn't had side cutters, I'd have never got it off. Never. I mean, that's one thing to put on your wish list for Christmas. You know, put them on your boat. I guarantee you.
Yes.
Because every boat ought to have a pair of them. Yep, it's going to happen.
I've got them in there, too, if you deep hook a fish and that you're going to release, you can reach down in there with them and then cut that hook off as short as you can get it and just let him swim off with that, you know, the barb and just a piece of that hook in
yeah.
it rather than, you know, gutting and gilling him to get your hook back.
I did that day before yesterday. I did that. Yep. Turn one loose, but for sure. I saw old Gary Gray. Somebody showed a video. Gary Gray had a hook in his leg
Uh-oh.
The other day. Yeah, old Gary got a hook in his leg. And
What, from wading and fighting a fish or one flopping
no,
around the boat?
No, it was on the boat. One of his customers hooked him. One of his customers hooked him in the leg. Yeah, been there and done that. I had a customer hook me one day. I took some bait up to the front of the boat. I turned around. I was walking by my console, and one of his customers went to cast, and, man, he whacked me, and he hooked me in the forearm. He buried a hook in my forearm, and I heard this whack. And the first thing I thought was that I kind of hooked myself walking around the console, you know.
Yeah.
I figured one of my rods in the rod holder got me. But then I realized what had happened. And, boy, this guy that hooked me, he was about 6'2", 6'3", big old boy, and he was in front there. And he said, oh, Captain, we can go in right now. Because he buried that hook.
Oh,
and I
boy.
Said, no, we're not going in. I said, it's too early. I said, hand me those pliers. He said, oh, don't do this, Captain. Don't do this. I said, no, hand me the
pliers. He's going to pass out on you.
Yeah, I thought he was. And I said, hand me the pliers.
You're turning white, man. You're turning white.
I said, hand me those pliers. He said, oh, don't do this. Hand me the pliers. He handed me the pliers. He turned his back to me. He couldn't watch. And I took that hook, and I just drove it out. And it hurt like the dickens, you know.
Well, yeah.
And, I drove it out, and I bent the barb down, and then I backed it out. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, I got it out. And I thought that guy was going to pass out. I really did. If he'd have watched me do it, he would have. You know? Mm-hmm. Oh, God. You know how bad it hurts. Oh, my goodness. But it sure feels good when it's out.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, I've been hooked several times. I know. Mm. And you have too, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, a few.
Oh, I got hooked in the surf, reaching out to grab a trout with a mirror lure in his mouth, you know. Oh, man.
Worst thing, I had a guy I was waiting next to in the Bolivar pocket years ago. He's probably dead now. He was an old man then, and I was young, and he was waiting down from me, and we were kind of out deep, and he had one of those small pencil trout come up with a mirror lure on it and jumped and hooked him in the face.
Oh, my gosh.
He said, you got to get it out of me. I'm down. I got the trout off, and I go, man, we need to go over to my boat. So we went over there, and I ended up getting them out, and, boy, it was nasty.
I'm always afraid of that.
I mean, when we got to the boat, his whole cheek and everything from his lip up to his cheekbone was just swelled up. Looked like he had a big old chaw of tobacco in his jaw, you know?
Woo. I'm always afraid of that, like in the surf with a skipjack on a mirror lure. There's nothing scarier than that.
Or a Spanish mackerel. They're crazy, too, when you get them up to you. Spanish mackerel and skipjacks with multi-hook baits is as nasty as it gets wade fishing.
Oh, it doesn't get any scarier than that.
No, it don't.
You know? No. And, man, oh, man, that gets scary. Oh.
Yep.
Yeah.
A lot of things, and it happens so quick. I had no idea that fish was. Worst I ever been hooked in the chest was by a big old giant skipjack, you know, with a topwater.
Yep.
Oh, I was squealing like a pig on that shoreline. Get this thing off of me, man. He's just sitting there shaking and just ripping tissue, man. I'm going, this ain't good.
Oh, my God. I know. Oh, I've been there. Been there and done that.
Then I had a big old trout on a red, straight back redfin one time. I couldn't control him. I got him up to me. I thought he was wore down. I mean, this was a big boy. And, man, he lunged and hit me head on right in the belly and hooked me. That back hook on that red fin was stuck in my stomach. He's sitting there shaking and frothing.
Oh, my God.
But I finally got my hands around his shoulders and squeezed him to death practically and got the hooks out of him, and I strung him. And then I had to get the pliers and just pull it out the way it went in. Just, boy. Glad there wasn't any entrails come with it. You know, you always think about that. My belly, I got too much meat on it to get inside and get the intestinal tract.
Oh, God. I know the feeling.
All right, Lynn. I got to roll out of here before it gets any more gory. But, hey,
we got plenty of those.
Boy, you got that right. We could talk about other things, but maybe next time. Hey, if somebody wants to get with you about coming down and hunting this winter with you or going fishing too, how do they get a hold of you, brother?
Yes, sir, man. They give me a 361-935-6833. And yeah, we need to sell some more of those hunts, for those does. So, we got to pop some more does. We'll know more about it next week.
Want some good meat, man. It's time to get it.
Yeah.
All right, brother.
Yeah. All right, man.
Have a good Sunday. See you, man.
You too. Bye.
All right. All right, that's Captain Lynn Smith in Port O'Connor. Time for our top of the hour break and national anthem, all that good stuff. We'll be back after these messages.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.